Welcome back, and let's get into some proper old-school D-Den Bean energy. In this lesson, we're building a dubwise breakbeat edit from scratch in Ableton Live 12. Not just a loop that technically plays back, but a drum pattern with feel, space, swing, and attitude. The kind of break that can sit in a roller, a jungle-leaning tune, or a darker intro and still sound like it belongs there. We're keeping this beginner-friendly and using only stock Ableton tools. So if you're just getting into drum and bass editing, this is a really solid place to start. First thing, open a fresh Ableton Live 12 project and set the tempo to 170 BPM. That's a strong starting point for old-school DNB. Fast enough to feel alive, but not so fast that the groove disappears. Now create one audio track for your break sample, and later we'll also use a MIDI track for slicing and playing the break like an instrument. Set up two return tracks too, one with echo, one with reverb. And if you like, leave room for a drum bus or group processing later. Drag in a breakbeat sample with clear hits. An Amen-style break is perfect, but honestly, any break with a strong kick and snare will work. The important thing is that the transients are easy to hear. We want something with character, not something too washed out. Open the clip view and turn warp on. Set warp mode to beats and choose preserve transients. That helps keep the hits sharp. If Live detects the tempo correctly, great. If not, nudge it until the break sits tightly on the grid. You want the starting point to feel solid, because once the timing is right, your edits will be much easier to shape. Now zoom in and listen carefully. Find the strongest kick, the main snare, any ghost notes, and little hat or shuffle fragments. Don't try to use everything. That's a big beginner trap. In DNB, a few strong slices usually sound better than a pile of weak ones. Right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Slice by transient. And if Ableton asks, choose Simpler for an easy workflow. Live will build a drum rack for you, with the slices mapped out across pads. Now you can play the break like an instrument, which is exactly the point. You're not just looping audio anymore. You're shaping a drum performance. Start by identifying the useful pieces. A kick slice, a snare slice, a ghost snare or a rim, a hat or top percussion tick, maybe one little tail or noise hit. Mute anything that feels too messy or too weak. This is important. In drum and bass edits, the character comes from strong choices, not from overcrowding. Now make a simple 2-bar MIDI clip and draw in a basic groove. Keep it minimal at first. Put the kick on beat 1, the snare on 2 and 4, add one extra kick before beat 3, and drop in a couple of ghost hits around the snare. You can also add one small top hit on the offbeats. Think of it like this. The snare is the anchor. The kick supports it, but the snare really tells you where the pocket lies. If the snare feels right, the whole edit usually starts to lock. Keep the note lengths short, around 1/16 to 1/8, and leave breathing room between hits. Don't stack too much at the exact same point yet. We want shape, not clutter. Now add velocity variation. This is one of the fastest ways to make a break feel human and musical. Set your main kick and snare hit somewhere around 100 to 127 in velocity. Ghost notes should be much softer, maybe 35 to 70. Light percussion can sit in the middle, around 50 to 90. That contrast is what makes the break feel played instead of pasted in. Next, let's give it some swing. Dubwise and old-school DNB edits should feel loose enough to breathe, but still tight enough to drive the tune. Open the groove pool and try a light swing groove, like an MPC-style 16 swing preset. Start with the amount around 20 to 40%. If the loop starts to feel too sloppy, back it off. The goal is movement, not mess. You can also nudge a few notes by hand. Push one ghost hit a little late, or bring a pickup hit slightly earlier. Just be careful not to move the main snare too much. The snare should stay solid so the break still hits with authority. Now we add the dubwise part. Space. Set up echo on one return track and reverb on another. For echo, try a delay time of 1/8 or 1/4. With feedback around 15 to 35%. Roll off some high end so it sounds warmer and more tape-like. For reverb, start with a decay around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds and a pre-delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds. The key here is selectivity. Don't send the whole break into effects. That gets cloudy fast. Instead, send only certain hits. A snare at the end of a bar, a ghost rim, a little top percussion slice, a fill hit before the loop repeats. That's the dubwise vibe right there. The space around the hits is part of the rhythm. Silence is doing real work. A really good move is to automate the send amount only on the last hit of a phrase, then pull it back on the next bar. That gives you that classic call and response feeling, without cluttering the whole loop. Now let's make the drum tone hit harder. Group your break slices into a drum group, Then add some light processing on the group instead of every single slice individually. A useful starting chain is EQ8, drum bus, compressor, and then maybe saturator if needed. With EQ8, cut any rumble below about 25 to 35 Hz. If the break sounds boxy, reduce a little around 250 to 500 Hz. If the snare gets harsh, check the 3 to 6 kHz area. Small moves are enough. Then add drum bus. Keep the drive around 5 to 15%. Use crunch gently, and be very careful with boom. In this style, too much boom can fight the bass later. If you want more snap, nudge the transient up a little instead. Add a compressor with a ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. Set the attack somewhere around 10 to 30 milliseconds so the transients can punch through. Use auto release if that feels easier, or try around 80 to 150 milliseconds. If the break still needs more density, add a little saturator. Keep it soft. We want thickness, not squashed life. If your break is already loud, turn the clip volume down before pushing the processing harder. Now for the part that makes it feel like a Riedel edit instead of just a two-bar loop. Variation. We're going to stretch this into 8 bars and change something every couple of bars. Bars 1 and 2 are your main groove. Bars 3 and 4 can remove one kick or add a ghost hit. Bars 5 and 6 can introduce a fill or a delayed snare throw. Bars 7 and 8 can open up more space and create a turnaround that leads back into the loop. You don't need huge changes. In fact, small changes often sound more professional. Try muting one hit, swapping a ghost note, changing a velocity, or sending one phrase-ending snare into echo. That's enough to make the loop feel intentional. A good D&B edit should evolve, but not fall apart. You want it to feel DJ-friendly, like it could sit under an intro, a drop, or a breakdown and still keep the energy moving. Now, if you want a more authentic old-school feel, try resampling the result. Record the drum group to a new audio track, or consolidate the best 2 or 4 bars. This is a classic workflow in jungle and D&B production. Once you print the sound, it becomes easier to commit, and often it feels more record-like than endlessly editable MIDI. After resampling, you can rechop it, reverse a slice or two, add tiny fades to avoid clicks, or warp it again if needed. Build, print, then chop again. That's a very Riedel drum and bass workflow. Here are a few coach-style reminders that will save you time. Build the groove around the snare, not the kick. The snare usually defines the pocket in D&B. Don't edit every bar the same way. Tiny changes are often all you need. Use your ears before the grid. A hit that looks late might actually be giving the groove its swing. Leave headroom. These edits get dense fast, and you'll want space later for bass and FX. And after every change, mute the loop for one bar, then bring it back. If it still feels strong after the silence, you're on the right track. If you want to push the edit further, try a few variation tricks. Remove one short hit just before a snare for a micro dropout. Shift a ghost note by 1/16th note in the next phrase. Make a top percussion slice louder on bar 5 or 7. Send only the last snare of a section into echo. Repeat one tiny percussion hit every 4 bars so the loop gets a recognizable identity. You can also build a parallel dirt layer. Duplicate the drum group. High pass it, add a bit of saturation, compress it harder, and blend it quietly under the main drums. That can give you more weight without ruining the transient clarity. If you want a darker, heavier vibe, keep the sub separate and mono. Let the break live above the low end. Use delay throws on the end of phrases. Leave a half bar or full bar gap before a big hit if you want the drop to feel bigger. In drum and bass, space is impact. Before we wrap, here's a quick practice challenge. Set a 15-minute timer. Load one break, warp it properly, slice it to a drum rack, build a two-bar groove with kick, snare, ghost notes, and one top hit, add a light swing feel, send one snare to echo and one to reverb, add EQ8 and drum bus on the group, then turn it into an 8-bar version by changing one thing every 2 bars. If you've got time, resample the best 4 bars. Your goal is to end up with something that feels like a Riedel Dubwise D&B edit, not just a chopped break. So to recap, start with a strong break, warp it cleanly, slice it into a drum rack, build a simple two-bar groove, add ghost notes and swing, use echo and reverb sparingly for dubwise space, process the drum group lightly, and evolve the pattern across 8 bars so it feels like an actual arrangement. That's the core of a proper dubwise old-school D&B breakbeat edit. Tight enough to drive the tune, loose enough to feel alive, and spacious enough to leave room for bass, atmosphere, and that big drop energy. All right. Let's build one and make it shake.